Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. Menachos Kuf Beis. We are actually partway down the Amud, so we're at line 14 from the top, Mesevei. So this is back to our discussion here regarding potential edibility, meaning the starting point is Reb Shimon, based on a pasuk Mikol Ha'ichel Asher Ya'achel, which discusses the halacha that food can become tummy. That's only if it's edible, if it can be at least fed to a goy, if you can have hanoah from feeding it to a goy, so it's mutar b'hanoah, then that food is considered food with respect to being susceptible to tumah. But otherwise, if it's asur b'hanoah, totally useless, and it's not regarded as, doesn't have food status with respect to being mekabel tumah. That's Reb Shimon's shita. So it either has to have that ability, or it needs to have had a sha'asa kosher, a moment in time, a moment in its existence where it was in fact regarded as food, even though it lost that ability now. It's now asur b'hanoah, but since it already acquired that status, it retains it. So for instance, an example would be a korban that experienced a psul. It failed, it was a puzzle because it stayed overnight before it was, And the question is, for sure, if there was a zrika done, which means to say that the blood was already applied to the mizbeach, in which case the flesh of the korban is not permitted for consumption, certainly at that point it acquires food status and doesn't lose it. Although it becomes pasul later, it stayed overnight, etc. But let's say the zrika never actually occurred. There was enough time to do zrika. He had the ability to do so. He should have done so. But it wasn't done. So according to initial thinking in the Gemara, even potential counts. If the blood was zrika enabled, it was sort of already on that track, it was slated for zrika, it was zrika ready, we treat it as though it happened, so potential is as though it happened, and now the korban is already considered sort of edible. It has that ach-eichel status, which makes it roi l'kabel tuma, susceptible to tuma. Whereas according to Rav Ashi, we disagree. No, he says potential doesn't count in this case. Sure, if zrika was actually carried out, in which case the basar became kosher and permitted for consumption, I agree, it's eichel, but if it just was there on potential, that doesn't count. Here comes a kasha on that. Potential doesn't count. We have a mishnah regarding mi'ila. So mi'ila is where a fellow would divert carbon material for personal use. It's a severe violation of mi'ila, provided the carbon is still considered kadosh Hashem, committed only for Hashem. But let's say the zrika already took place and taken place, and the carbon is now permitted for kohanim's consumption. It loses its unique kadosh Hashem label. It is now ready for the kohanim to consume. It no longer has mi'ila applicable to it. Now, at what point does that status change? Is potential sufficient? So if it's zrika ready, zrika is what permits it for the kohanim's consumption. If it's slated for zrika, if it's oymed lizorak, is that enough to give it that new status where it loses me'ila? The Mishnah seems to say yes. Meisvei, here comes Akasha. On Rav Ashi, who says potential doesn't count. Klal Amar Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua set up a klal, a rule as follows. Kol shehoyse lo shasa hetel kohanim, any carbon which had been permitted for kohanim consumption, so it's that far advanced in the akrova process, it's now mutaf for the kohanim, then it loses its me'ila status, it's no longer a kadosh Hashem, ein me'alim ba. Because shaloi ha'isa lo shasa hetel kohanim, if it did not ever get permissibility for kohanim, then it still retains its kadosh Hashem status, and there is me'ila for one who diverts it, me'alim ba. Examples are as follows. Beizeu sha'as heter kohanim. What's considered sha'as heter? Shalana, shenitmes, v'shiyotza. If it was left overnight, it became tamei, the carbon material left the premises, it became pasul. So although it's now failed, it's now deficient, but since it was muta tar kayhanim, at a certain point, it loses me'ila. Let me have some examples of non-permissibility, where it's not mutal kayhanim and it still has me'ila. Cases where it never got off the ground. It never even started the akrava process. Something happened, some failure happened at the get-go. Shenishchata chutz lezmano. In the shechita itself, there was a deficiency. It was done with a machshavav pigel, the chuslim kaimot, eaten in the wrong place, the wrong time. Shekiblu psulim, zakras dama, or unqualified individuals did the kabbalah of the dam, did the zrika. So this was failed from the start. In which case, it still has me'ila. Okay, let's go back to the first list of cases where it is free of me'ila because it already gained permissibility to the kayanim. Katani mi'a reish. Let's go back to the first list. Shalana. We assume shalana means it stayed overnight, the basar and the blood, which means to say there was no zrika actually done. You could have done zrika, there was potential, but in actuality, it wasn't carried out. Mishnit, Mishyotza, was Gatama, you left the area. My love, let's assume Lana Mamish, that it actually was stayed overnight, which means to say that the Basar and the Dam were never processed. There was no Mizrika. Vacha, so here's a classic example of potential. The boy, if he wishes, if he wanted to, he could have done zrika, have a Zurich. Who? Uktani, what does Mishnah say? That's enough to relieve it of Mi'ila. Because it's Kayhanim ready. It's Zrika enabled. Uktani de'en ma'alamba. So you see from here the potential count? That's a Kasha Rav Ashi who says it does. Says, Wallahi, no. Actually, let me set the record straight. Ru'uy lotzis. Ru'uy litami. And Rashi takes out the next two words. Ru'uy lolim. What happened was that actually there was Zrika. The blood was applied to the Mizbeach. So that was accomplished. So at that point it was muta for the Kayhanim. The green light was on. And the only thing that could have gone wrong is Ruhi Lotzis. It was now liable for becoming pasal by leaving the area or becoming tummy. That's the only problem that could have, the only misstep that could have developed was Yaitse or tummy, because Rika had already been accomplished. That's not an issue. So in this case, of course, it no longer has Mi'ila, because in actuality it was Mutat Kalihanim. Avo lina mamish mai yachinami de ma'alim. So what are you saying, that if there was actual lean on the blood, which means to say the blood was never really processed, so it never got to that point, the permissibility for Kohanim, you're going to say it still retains Me'ila status, really? But if you take a close look and you analyze the wording of the Mishnah, it doesn't indicate as such. Hi. So why does the Mishnah use the words, the rule, kol shahaya loy shaseta l'kohanim? Which almost sounds like it had a moment in time where it was suitable, it was potentially suitable to be mutar for kayhanim, if he would do the zrika. And this is contrasted to v'chol shaloi ha'isaloi shaset l'kayhanim, as opposed to where it didn't even have that potential to become mutar, which almost sounds like, which does sound like, potential counts. It shouldn't have used that language, if you actually have to do it to make it work. Kol sheyeshloi shaset l'kayhanim, eime alamba. Instead, the Mishnah should have said, if it has, if it received the heter, because there was an Ezrika actually done, then there's no Me'ila. As opposed to B'chol She'en Lo Shaset L'Kehanim Me'alba, if it has no heter, then you have Me'ila. That's the way the Mishnah should have worded it. But rather than wording it this way, which sounds like actuality is what's needed, it uses words which indicate potential. So potential is enough to grant it Me'ila free status. Elohim Ravashi said, Rashi, you're right. Granted, but this is unique to Me'ila. By Me'ila we say potential's enough, but not when it comes to a question of giving it food status and making it open to be Mekabel Tuma. Me'ila, the halacha of Me'ila, Atuma, and the halacha of Tuma, Karamis, you're asking one on the other, you're comparing? No connection. Different worlds, different systems. In terms of the Me'ila system, Mushum Kedusha, Valaf Kedusha here, there's a question of whether it's Kaddish or not. Is it still Kaddish Hashem or not? And in this case, once it turned on its blinkers and it shifted lanes. It's about to have Zrika. It's Zrika enabled. It's ready for that act of Zrika which permits it to the Kayanim. It loses Mila. Lebasa the Pakal Kedusha, once it loses that original Kedusha, it's now on a new track. So even if something goes wrong, Vamai Hadra, Rachvala, how does the Kedusha come back and Rachva means like it rides back on it. How does it get back on it? It lost it. Once something was Oymed Lizrak, was about to be Nizrak, and we mutab al-Kayhanan, it's on a new track. But when it comes to giving it a food status, you need actual edibility. When it comes to Oych, Tumma, Mishum Oychla, Vavlav Oychlahi. The question is it food or not? For that, you have to actually experience that food status. It has to be mutter. You have to have Zrika. Without Zrika, in actuality, you can't say potential. We'll give it the shame Oychla. Bach actually deletes part of the next couple of lines based on Rashi. He says, you read it like this. When it comes to Tumma, the criterion is it edible? Is it food or not? Mishum Oychla, Vlav Oychla. Vlav Mishum Oychlahi. Kolecha de lay mash vlay Oychla. If it's not actually food, if there's no zrika actually done, ain't it matame to myself? It's not matame. Potential's not. So Ravashi stands his ground, keeps his position, but he says Mila is different. Maybe we have a kasha. From another source, will we see potentials enough? Hamevi Ashem Tali. A fellow wasn't sure, he was uncertain whether he ate, you know, chaylev, he has to bring a special carbon, which is called the Ashem Tali, to address this uncertainty until he figures out what happened. But then it was discovered that he didn't do it. V'noida shalei chata. What do you do with the animal? If it's before Shechita, no delay, that's when he discovered the facts and his innocence. Send it back to the farm. It was a mistake. Go send it back and let it, you know, join the farm, pasture with the flock. Because since it was a non-event, so it's just chulin, it's not considered like a carbon. That's a Shechita v'Rameir. I don't know. The fact is, he committed himself to this carbon just in case, so it's a full commitment, irrespective of what he discovers later. Yirash, you still have to treat it like any other carbon that became possible. So you can't actually proceed and be makrivit, but you can't just send it back to the farm. You just send it out, you know, until it gets blemished, and then you switch it out. You redeem it. You transfer the money and purchase a donated oil, right? You mach and you sell. You pull dumb and dumb. I have the money directed to nadava, an oil nadava. Rav Leza Omer, guess what? Just keep on going. Yikariv. Yikrav. Or proceed with processing of the carbon. You know why? If he's not guilty of this, he's guilty of something else. Shemein Ebal Chetzeh, if it's not coming to address this particular sin, which never happened, don't worry, Ebal Chetzeh is going to address a different, certainly he did something else, you know, we could assume that he has another... Now, this is before Shechit, Mishin Mishchat. No, let's say Shechit had already been done. And then he discovered that he was innocent. Hadam Yishafach Mabasi Yisarif. So again, according to Rameir, dispose of the carbon with, you know, respectfully, like a carbon that's, you know, apostle, spill the blood, burn the basar. Nizrak Hadam. Let's say Zrik had already happened. That's stage three. Done is done. I mean, the blood is the kapara. The carbon is completely processed. Gzantayin, enjoy. Now, basar Yachal, you should have the basar for supper, no problem. Rashi explains, look, the objective was to mechaper a suffix, and that's what it did. So although he discovered later, it doesn't matter. Rabbi Yossi Omer basically adds another point. Afilu adam b'kais. Even if the blood is not yet on the mizbeach, it's just in the container, ready for zrika, that's close enough. Yizorek continued with the zrika, abasi ochel, and consumed the basar. You know why? If I'm a rava. Why? Rabbi Yossi b'shitas, Rabbi Shimon. No, he's going to look at Rabbi Shimon. The Amor says, that when the blood, the dam, is available for Zrika, it's slated for Zrika, it's Zrika ready, Zrika enabled, we treat it as though it happened. It's already mid-process, already started the process of Zrika, in which case, even though the Zrika didn't actually happen, but it's far enough advanced in the Zrika, into the Zrika, you know, process, on the Zrika track, we treat it as though it happened, and as though the carbon had been fully processed and treated accordingly. So what do we see from here? We see that potential counts. That's a kasha on what we said before, that potential is not reckoned with. Even potential zrika is good enough for us regarding this this carbon. Says the Gemara. Midi hutama? Do you think this is the reason, the basis for Rabbi Yisrael Shita? The potential is as though Amri Marova and Etzushol, they explain Mishmei to Rabbi Yisrael Rechanina, in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Rechanina, a different shah, a different explanation. It's not that, you know, when it's on its way, it's considered as though it happened. In which case, the, you know, the carbon is like it's mutter, and it's considered edible, and has a shasa kosher, and no. I'll tell you Rabbi Yisi's reason. Why in this case, and only in this case, do we proceed? The kasava he holds klei shoras mekachin asapsulim dechatchil likariv. Once the blood was retained in klei shoras, you know, if you recall, we had a whole discussion in Maseches Vachem. Even deficient material, deficient carbon material, once it reaches the mizbeach itself, it gets sort of attached, it gets absorbed, it gets incorporated into the mizbeach, and it doesn't leave. You don't remove it. Klei shoras has a similar power. Even if something is possible, like this type of case where he discovered that he was innocent, once it's in a klei shoras like acts like an extension of the mizbeach. The chatchil likariv can proceed chatchila and put on the mizbeach. So that's why he says once the dam reaches the kli, you just keep on going. So that's a particular, specific, a chiddush in this type of case. But to say that in general, regarding our general question whether the carbon is deemed to be edible at this point, no, it's not yet edible because zrika hasn't yet been carried out. Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana. I have a question. You know, the way we had initially thought that according to Rav Shimon, right, we say that potential is like actuality regarding, you know, giving it food status. Medam Rav Shimon, kolayimid lizrik, zarek dam. Something is about to have zrika, it's considered as though it happened. So likewise, kolayimid lizrik, nam gisarek dam. When something is about to be burnt, we treat it as though it happened. It should have that status. I have a question. Noisar, upara. So you have a, you know, the basar of a carbon, and it was now left over beyond its, you know, its time limitation. You say, listen, it was mutar b'achila at one point, so it's still mekabel tumah, it's considered food. Paraduma, we discussed this yesterday. Paraduma, shecht, it's sitting on the firewood, they're about to be burned. No, it's still considered food because you could switch it out. You could switch it for a different para. It's potentially edible. Fine. No, so a para. Am I? Why? Why are they metamei tumas? Why are they considered like food and they become tumei as such? They're meant to be burnt. And potential counts as though it happened. Afra ba'amu. Then let's treat them just like they're ashes. We view them as ashes because they're meant to be ashes. Amali, he says you're right. So what? Even if it's ashes and it's an edible material, but when it's carbon material, even if it's inedible, amalei chibas is a term called chibas hakoid, a dearness, the fact that it's prominent, the fact that it's carbon material, chibas hakoid machsharta, elevates them to food status and the mekabel tumah. So typically it has to be edible to mekabel tumah, but carbon material has that ability despite being inedible. Amalei Ravina Ravashi. I have one more question here. Fine. Chibas hakoidish elevates it, gives it food abilities, and as it becomes tummy. Amar Rav Yehuda Rashi, he is true. Granted, the Mahani Luchibas Hakadosh, this Chibas Hakadosh factor enables it, allows it, lifsul gufi, the gufi to become possible in itself, but to become a carrier, to allow it to transfer the tumma to the next item that it touches, that's going a little bit bit far there. The kriya tummy, they actually call it tummy, nami. Also, lemimne beirishim is that it can carry on and pass on the tumah to others. So we should apply the general system of Rishon Latuma that could transfer to the next item, which is the Shein Latuma. That's going a little far. And that's really a whole question that was really unresolved by Rish Lakish. If so, you can resolve Rish Lakish's question, who asked exactly this. The word Rish Lakish, he had a question regarding this this halacha, tzrid. Tzrid is a dry material, a dry flour, which never was came into contact with liquids, which typically is a prerequisite for becoming tamei. But it's for a mincha, tzrid shel menachis. So we say, although it doesn't really conform to the standard system of tumah, but since it's, you know, carbon material, it's elevated and it's now susceptible to tumah. How far do we go? So if a touch of tumah, I know it itself becomes disqualified, but is it a carrier? Can it actually become tummy to the extent that it can pass on the tumah? Moindin by Rishon Rishaini? Should we count, you know, the Rishon Latumah and then passing it on to the next item, which is Rishaini Latumah? Oh, yeah, moindin by Rishaini. Or perhaps we don't do that. It gets personally disqualified, but it can't carry it on. And here we see that it does. When we say that the inedible becomes tamei and to the point that it can carry on and transfer, it's only the rabbanon. He's asking in a Torah. It's based on a pasuk of Eitzim, right? That a basra, that even something which is inedible. Question is, Minatoira, how far does it go? So with the rabbanon, yes, but the question was regarding Minatoira, and that was really not resolved yet. Okay, so in a nutshell, under Rav Shimon, for something to be considered food with respect to being mekabel tumah, it has to be something which is mutar bahana, or there was a point in time in its existence at a shas kosher who had that ability. So the question is, what about potential? There was dam here that could have been done properly. It wasn't. It could have. Is that enough to give it food status, to make the bus or the carbon, to be considered eichel, permissible food? So according to some opinions, says according to Rav Ashi, no. But even he agrees when it comes to meila, that if I had the moment that it could have become mutal kayhan, it's already considered on that track where it loses its kedusha on the higher level of kedusha, which comes along with meila, so it loses the meila. And likewise, we spoke about the asham tali. Even if the idam is in a kli, you can proceed because it's already sort of on its en route. So regarding those cases, we agree that it's considered far enough advanced in the process. We had another question regarding potential ashes. Certainly becomes possible, but to what extent remains to be clarified. Says the Mishnah. Haimer, a fellow declares a pledge as follows. Hari alai b'machmas, I'm going to bring a mincha, which is going to be processed in a shallow frying pan, a certain format, a certain type. And he goes ahead and he brings a mincha, but the wrong way. Vevi b'macheshes, he brings a deep fried mincha. Or vice versa, marcheshes, he promised a marcheshes, maybe machmas. Mashevi hevi. Okay, whatever he offered works. But he has to redo and bring his real pledge. Videi chavasa lo yatsi, he hasn't really fulfilled his obligation, but the mincha is kosher. However, zu lovi machmas, he points to specific material. This flour is going to be offered in a machmas, and he switches that. That disqualifies it. Because the material itself had been committed to this particular format, and it wasn't. Zu lovi machmas. Vehevi, and he brought up macheshes, or the opposite, macheshes, vehevi b'machas, harizu psula. Another example of a deviation is in quantity. Ha'imer harei alai, shnei estroines. I'm going to be generous, I'm going to bring 2 estroines, 2 pounds, right? But I'm going to bring it together in one kli, this real nice jumbo mincha, lovi b'kli echad. It turns out that he split them into 2, vehevi b'shnei estroines, kelim. Or the opposite, he promised b'shnei kelim, vehevi, and he actually brought it in one kli echad. Again, it works, but he has to redo it to fulfill his personal obligation. Mashehevi hevi. Videi chavasai, that he hasn't fulfilled the yotza. But if he points to this particular material and he designates it to be brought in this way, elu b'kli echad, these 2 estroines are going to be brought together in one jumbo format. Vehevi, but then he splits them, b'shnei kelim, or the opposite, promised b'shnei kelim, vehevi, and he brought them b'kli echad, then it disqualifies the whole thing, arei l'psulim, because these materials have been committed to a particular format, which they didn't actually... Okay, let's elaborate further on this last case. Harei alai shnei estroines, lavi b'kli echad. I'm promising to bring 2 estroines and 1 kli. And he shows up with 2 kelim, split them into 2, vehevi, b'shnei kelim. Unreleased, so the people around him say, hey, hold it, mister, don't you remember that you promised to bring them together as one big jumbo? B'kli echad nadartu, you promised 1 kli. Hikrivu mishnei kelim psulim. So now, it's very possible that this is a new commitment, unrelated to his original pledge. Right? But then he would have said something to his crowd. He would have said, well, this is something else, don't worry. He didn't do that. He just ignored them. He grieved him, came and proceeded and brought them as two. So clearly he was attempting to, you know, carry out his commitment, to actualize his pledge, but in the wrong way, so then it's psulim. But of course, if he switches it back into one kli, so clearly it was sort of a mistake, right? The tos, the fact that it wasn't two kelim, he now corrected himself, so it's kshem, it's okay, because this is exactly as he promised. Another example of this back and forth, harei alai shnei yisroinus, lovi b'shnei kelim, he promised two yisroinus split into two, maybe b'kli echad, he brought them as one, amalai, so the people around him said, hey, hold it, don't you remember, b'shnei kelim l'dad, you promised two? So he quickly divides them, ikrivim b'shnei kelim, great, so it's restored the way it's meant to be, kshem. But if he insists on keeping them together as one without comment, so obviously he's just ignoring them. He's sort of deviating from his pledge. He's trying to carry out his pledge in the wrong way. Nostan kli echad. So then it's like two separate minchas that got mixed up. Because really he's bringing two menachas. He's carrying out his pledge of two menachas, but he's mixing them together. So we treat them kishtei menachas, like two menachas in the same that got mixed together. What's the halacha? We learned it a while ago. If they're totally mixed with each other, there's a problem, but if there's enough separate material to allow a separate kmitza from each pile, then get away with that. So initially, the Mishnah spoke about a case where he promised to bring one type and he brought something else, so he promised to bring them together, brought them separate, or vice versa. Technically, the mincha works, but he has to redo his, bring his, be mekayim his commitment in the way he promised. Why does the Mishnah have to highlight two different examples to bring out the same point? Otsricha. The Yashmin HaKamais, we only discussed the first case where he changed the actual format. Yeah, because he promised one type, he brought a different type. Yeah, that doesn't work. Avalacha, but in the second series of cases, the Idividiv Machvas, he promised and he actually brought a Machvas. Or Vidiviv Macheshes, he promised and he actually brought a Macheshes. It's just a question of, you know, together or split into two. Perhaps I would posit that it's enough, sufficient even as a fulfillment of his nether, and that's why the Mishnah has to tell you otherwise. On the other hand, if the Mishnah only spoke about the second case, because he's you know, formatting them in the wrong way, I split them into two, that's disqualifying. Aval Hosn, like Pelagu, in the first series of cases, we didn't split into two. Right, the quantity is the same, just a slightly different variation in terms of format. Emulai, perhaps it's not so terrible, and it's considered a kim of his nether tzricha. Comes the Mishnah and says in both cases, deviation disqualifies, meaning since he deviated, he has to redo in order to fulfill his nether. Tanur Rabbanan. Here comes the dissenting view. Rav Shimon says that format is not so important. So Tanakama says, Masha hevi hevi de nidru liyotza. If he switched formats, the technically the mincha works, but he has to bring another one up. Shimon Omer, afi de nidru namayatza. Mincha is a mincha. It's all in the family. So even if he committed a certain type and he brought a different type, ultimately what determines the type is what it's actually going to be brought as. So just because he promised one type doesn't matter. He's committed to a mincha in general. What type? The one that will actually bring. Now the Mishnah continued. Zulavi machvas. If he designated this particular material as machvas, and then he switches, the material itself becomes possible. But the Mishnah, the Braisa, which says lekitchum kli klisharis, that if you put it in the wrong kli, it does not affect the material. It doesn't become. It doesn't get elevated to a higher status of kedushas haguf. Inherent Kedusha, which means to say that you can just take it out and put it in the other kli. It wasn't committed to this process. So why is it possible? Amar Abaye lekitchum lekarev. Ava kitchum lepasol. When the Braisa says that the kli did not have any effect on the material, it means to say in a positive sense, because this material was meant to be in a different type of kli. But kitchum lepasol does make it kaddish with respect to becoming pasol, to its detriment. It has a negative effect on it. So you can no longer take it out and put it back on a different kli. V'Rabbi, continues Rabbi Leshana, when do we say that switching the type of kli is possible? Ashu kav mishas neder. So Ron Kav Gimel and Aleph, he determined the format when he expressed his initial pledge. I am going to bring this material as a machbis. Aval b'shas hafrash aloy. But let's say initially, he just promised the regular mincha, generic mincha. And then when he found the flour, he said, oh, this is going to be for the machbis. Aloy. That's not going to have that's not going to affect the material. It's not going to commit it to that particular format. And he could switch it. Why? The Torah says, keep your pledge. Carry out your words, kashan or darta, as per when you were neider, when you made that pledge. That affects commitment. As opposed to what he expressed when he actually, you know, designated the material, which was not at the time of the neder. Itmar nami, we learned likewise, when do we say the material is committed to this particular track, if it was committed at the time of the neder, but later on doesn't really have that effect, based on this pasuk, kashan adarta, v'loy kashan refrashta. Okay, so we learn in the Mishnah that a person deviates from his commitment. Technically, the mincha is okay, but it doesn't really count as a fulfillment of his neder. According to Rav Shimon, it does. And in the second part of the Mishnah, we spoke about material that was designated for a specific format. In that case, if he switches it, the material itself becomes pasuk. But again, that's only when he designated at the time of the nether. Then, it's committed to this process. But otherwise, he's free to change it. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.